praise you, Father. And Father God, I just thank you that you help us. You help us be good receivers. You pour out your goodness. You pour out your mercy. It was brand new this morning, God. Brand new for us. Father, for this world. And Father, we're just determined to receive good, to receive truth, to receive life from you. And Father, the goal is that we would take that life, we would take that truth, and then we would share it. We would give it to other people. And we'd just get some more and give it away. And get some more and give it away. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we're blessed to be vessels, vessels of honor, vessels in your service. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And as we just keep moving forward with our time today, I thank you for your anointing that's on your word. I thank you for the anointing that is on Steve and that is on Pam. And Father, I believe this. You have given them good things to pass on to us. And Father, we will be more equipped to be about your business more effectively. So we thank you, Father, and we ready our hearts. We open our minds to receive, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody go ahead and say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on up, Pam and Steve. Amen. Hallelujah. And just as I get ready to let go of the mic, it's really fun visiting last night because we have some connections, you know, that when you have conversation, you discover. Well, they know Joe Dunnick really well. And in our church here, the most of us, we know the Dunnick family really well. You know, Willis and Joan and that. Well, Joe is the head of missions, missions for Rhema. And then another friend, John Grunewald and his wife, they're over there in Rhema, Europe, and those countries over in that neck of the woods. So it was just fun to realize the connection that we already have. And with that, let's just welcome them. Let them know how glad we are that they're here this morning. Amen. Praise God.
Well, I tell you, can we just...
Is that
we just shortened that.
That might have been. It might have been me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it might have been. Yeah. Okay.
All right. How's this?
I'll back you up, honey.
Glory to God. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord right now?
Oh, yes,
Father,
amen.
We just
thank
praise
you.
Hallelujah.
Thank
we
you,
just
Lord.
Glorify you.
Yes.
We
thank
glorify
you, Lord.
Your
praise
name,
you,
Jesus.
Father. Thank you, Lord.
We magnify
thank
your
you,
name,
praise
Jesus.
You, Father.
We exalt you, Lord
yes.
God. Because
thank
you are
Lord.
Worthy. Because you are holy. Because there is none like you.
Yes, amen.
And you do
thank
great
you,
things.
Lord.
You do awesome things.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise
we praise
God.
You. We praise
thank you, Lord.
And we have expectancy. We have expectancy, Lord God. We expect to
yes,
hear from you.
Thank
we
you,
expect
Lord.
To receive
praise
from you,
you. Father.
We expect for you to move in our lives.
Yes.
You're moving in our families. We declare that now. You're moving in our families.
Yes.
You're moving in children's lives that maybe it sure doesn't look like it, but we know you're moving. Hallelujah. Glory
thank
to God.
You, Lord.
You're moving
thank
in
you,
siblings'
Lord.
Lives. You're moving in our parents' lives. Thank you. Thank
you.
You thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We praise you. We praise you. Glory
yes.
to the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Ooh.
Praise God.
You.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, you need to be expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be expecting every day. And you need to have that spirit of praise. Because when you're praising God, you're magnifying Him. And you're expecting Him to move. You're not looking at the situation and the problem. You're not focused on that, but you're glorifying God, who is great. I mean, you know, when you really give God glory, It shows that you're believing him. I mean, what are you believing today? Are you believing God to work in your life? Mm-hmm. To move in your family? Mm-hmm. To break down strongholds that might have seemed like they've been there a long time? We have expectancy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Wow, the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Yes.
It is a joy and a privilege to be with you all. We just met your pastors last year for the first time, and then we got reconnected in January, and now we get to be here. It is such an honor and a privilege. And like Pastor shared, well, we've had Europe on our hearts for years. I was in college. I got to tour Europe in a theater group and was working all across Europe and did theater. So I kind of saw the condition of many parts of Europe. Steve had Europe on his heart. God put Europe, especially Germany, but back when he was just a boy. So then when we got married, we knew Europe was there. It was like Europe. You know, we'd always pray for Europe. We saw ourselves in Europe. There was times when we were trying to make things happen to get us to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you do have to wait on God's timing.
That's right.
Amen? You don't want to walk ahead of God. You want to walk with God. And so God has opened the doors for us to now, after we pastored in North Idaho, beautiful North Idaho, which kind of, boy, as we were driving up yesterday and we were getting closer here, we were feeling more like we were back home. This is beautiful country. You guys are so blessed. And we were in North Idaho for a little over 10 years pastoring there. But God was putting that urge in us to get back on the mission field. And the doors opened up, and now we're working with Rhema Europe team. And, you know, this church, you're part of Rhema.
Mm-hmm.
You have Rhema pastors. You are part of the Rhema family.
That's
and
right.
God is moving. God is doing. I mean, God's working all over the world through different organizations, but we are part of something so big with Rhema. It's a privilege. It's an honor because God is using Rhema in this hour, these last days on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
He's using Rhema in a strategic way.
That's right. You know, and in Europe, when you talk about Europe and you think about that continent, then we'll break it down and get even more specific with the nation of Poland, where we're moving to in little over a month. July 31st, we fly out and we'll be on our way to the nation of Poland. But in Europe alone, there's 750 million people, and best estimates are there's like 4% of that entire continent born again. 4%. And then when you bring it down to Poland itself, there's 38, 39 million people in the nation of Poland, and there's less than 1%. We think of Poland as a Christian nation because of it's strong in Catholicism. About 97% of the population identifies themselves as Roman Catholic. But most do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they say there's probably less than 1%. And if you took that percentage and broke it down into this service right here today, or just Custer, you know, if you took the population of the city of Custer, that would mean 18 people in the city of Custer are born again. Well, you've got that beat. And praise God. So you've exceeded that 1%, but that's Poland out of 39 million people. And they even tell us that there's one gospel church, and when we say gospel church, a church that actually opens the Word of God and preaches from the Word of God instead of from some man's ideology. That there's one gospel church in Poland for every 76,000 Polish citizens. So just think of how much of South Dakota that would encompass.
Yeah.
And so, yes, God understands the need, and that's where he responds because he's all about people. Mm-hmm. You and I would not be here if he wasn't about people, because he had to reach us, didn't he?
Amen.
He cared enough for us to send laborers across our path to preach the gospel, teach the word, to expose us to his presence. Why? Because he loves us. Mm-hmm. And so God would call pastors out of North Idaho and say, it's time to release, and I'm sending you. And when we stepped out, we didn't understand that it was Poland that we were going to. We knew it was Europe, but then God began to reveal his plan and unfold that plan before our eyes. And praise God, he's given us the opportunity and the privilege to represent his kingdom in that nation.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you have to step out before you see the whole thing, clearly. I mean, we didn't have any idea. We just knew we're making steps, and we knew we were supposed to be hooking up with the Rhema Europe team, but we didn't know what God was going to do. And sometimes God might put something in your heart, and you're thinking, well, God, how can this work out? But that's faith. You be obedient to what God tells you to do. Be obedient to the little things.
Yes.
And be obedient. If you're in Walmart or the grocery store or wherever, and God tells you, prompts you to talk to somebody, get out of your comfort zone and do it. You be obedient in the small things. He's going to lead you in the big things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tell them about our table, Pamela.
Oh, yes. We do have our little table in the back. We have our prayer cards. Please, if you would like to pick up one of these, you can remember to pray for us. It has our contact information, our email address, our website info, and you can sign up at, we send out a monthly email update letter, so you can hear what God's doing. So please, if you'd like to get news on that, just sign up with your email address. And there's partner cards there if you're interested in partnering with us. And we have a little pin, a couple little pins back there that say, and you might wonder, well, what are these pins? Well, it says in Polish, I am loved. And we are taking these pins when we go to Poland. We're taking, well, we hope we can take thousands of them, but we're going to take those and give those to everybody we meet. And it says, I am loved.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Well, isn't God good? And is he good sometimes?
All the time.
He's good all the time, isn't he? And you may think, well, you know, what could I do for the kingdom? And what? And Pastor was sharing with us, too, yesterday when we were so blessed to have a personal tour of Crazy Horse from one of the founding family members. I mean, that is just like, we're walking around there. I don't know if you noticed it, but we kind of had a chip on our shoulder because everybody else is kind of like, eh, you know, they're doing this. And it's like, hey, we are getting the tour, guys. And you don't know it, and he didn't want us to say it, but I wanted to just shout out, we are getting the behind-the-scenes tour here. And that's just, that's pretty awesome. And so when we were sitting down and having dinner and just sharing, and you know, you think sometimes, well, boy, I wish I was one of these folks that were blessed with just millions of dollars. Well, keep on believing that. Don't stop believing it. Why? God's no respecter of persons. Why not you? Well, you're looking at me like, oh, you're crazy. You need to just go back to where you came from. Well, I don't know about you, but we've heard about expectancy. So I expect God to bless me. Because when God blesses me, he's got more than me on his mind. So I want to be blessed, exceeding abundantly, far over and above all that I can dare ask or even think. Why? Because it's about not me. It's about me touching someone else. Amen. And so Pastor shared how that you guys, as a church a few years ago, were helping to support wells in Africa, I believe it was. And that you found out that it didn't take a lot, that coming together was able to get that done. And I shared with Pastor and asked his permission and if we could share this. And then we'll get into the word, because we're going to talk about zeal. Living a life that's zealous. And so examining where we're at and living that life. But God gave me a Holy Ghost idea, and we said, it's great. The Holy Ghost ideas are the best. So, you know, you don't wake up and just think, well, did I just dream that? Or was that, you know, an after effect from those tacos I had the night before? And no, Holy Ghost ideas last, and they're God ordained. And he just had me simply just look up, because we're based right now out of Jackson, Tennessee, just north of Memphis, is where we're at. And he said, I want you to see the distance from your home your hometown there in Jackson to Gdynia, Poland, where you're moving to, and it's 4,787 miles, I believe it is, something close to that. And he said, then just take your budget and just divide it into, you know, it comes to $1.15 a month. And he said, share with people that they could sponsor a mile to get you and Pamela there to Poland and to stay there in Poland for as little as $1.15 a month. I thought, God, you're so awesome to show that it doesn't take much. I mean, when you study the subject of faith, he didn't say you had to have mountain moving faith. He said you had to have the faith that's a grain of a mustard seed. That's not big, folks. That's pretty small. But he said that mustard seed faith can move mountains. Praise God. And so again, if you'd like to, just if God puts it on your heart, you don't have to have much. But God can use it, and together you see what God can do. Praise the Lord. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. God is so faithful. We see that over and over. I think it was Pastor, even this morning, said, have you been blessed? Absolutely, we've seen God blessings throughout the years. And he continues to do that, and he will for you too, if you dare to believe him. If you dare to believe him, amen. So turn with me right now to Romans chapter 12, because I do want to give you some word, and we want to have time for prayer. We may not be at that table at the end of the service, just depending on how the service flows here towards the end. So please just put down your email address if you'd like that e-newsletter. And I would encourage you to write in English and not in tongues. Because after a few days trying to interpret some of the handwriting, it's just like you need inspiration of the Holy Ghost to get the help. So as best you can, if you think you can't write good enough, get your neighbor who's got good handwriting and have them write it for you, because we want you to receive that newsletter. It will encourage you. But Romans 12:11, and I'm going to read this verse out of the NIV. It says, never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in your service of the Lord. And I'm thinking this morning again, as we're doing the worship, and thank you, worship team, for leading us. And really, they should be, you know, when you're thinking about that, they shouldn't just necessarily be leading us, but they should be directing us as we are participating with them in worship. Sadly, too often it is, they are leading us as we are observing. Well, I wonder if Pastor Diana is going to hit the right key this time. If Brother So-and-so, he was a little off pitch on that one. You shouldn't even be so focused on that. Why? Because we're so participating in the worship of the Lord that you don't hear the off key and you don't hear the missed note. Why? Because you're thriving to get into his presence. Seeing the work of the Lord and the things that we're doing, our worship and our daily service of the Lord should be, we do it out of zeal. We do it out of this compassion and this hunger and this drive that, God, I want more of you. God, I can't get in. I got to get more of your presence. I got to get more of your word. I got to fellowship more with the brothers and the sisters. Amen. And we're motivated out of this zeal, this fervency of serving the Lord. Say, oh, well, you're just a missionary and that's why you're excited. No, it's not. I tell you, a call to be a pastor, to be a missionary, an evangelist, a teacher, with that call does not come a deposit of zeal. My acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord of my life at that moment of my surrender of myself to him as Lord, then that deposit of zeal is placed inside of me. Not because of a certain call, it's because I'm a child of the King, and because of that, I'm excited to be living for the Lord. I shouldn't be 40 years down my journey and you guys be able to notice that I'm 40 years in serving the Lord. I observed that you must have been serving the Lord for a long time. How is that? Because I can just see it on you. Well, what does that mean? You can see it on me. Does that mean that like there's lightning shooting from me? Like the anointing is so strong that I walk by, my shadow just knocks you out? Or is it because I'm like this during the worship? You know, I'm kind of participating. Is that what you see? I hope not. Because in my service of the Lord, I should be doing it with zeal. You see, Christian zeal. Let me give you a good definition. It's a little bit lengthy, but if you need me to repeat it, I will. Christian zeal is the divine flame that brings our affections to a boil for God's cause. Holy Ghost zeal is the divine flame that brings my affections to a boil for God's cause. His purposes, His desires, His likes. We know in Psalms it says that He will give you the desires of your heart. And I've held on to that scripture for many times. And then finally, a few years back, I felt like the Lord kind of gave me a better revelation of that verse of scripture, Pastor Joel. Because I'd say, Lord, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. I didn't believe that He will. But I believe that as I'm serving Him with zeal and passion, and my heart is aflame and my affections are aflamed with His God purposes, that the desires of my heart become His desires. And so those desires are what He will then fulfill in my life, because now it's not selfish desires, it's God-purposed desires. And He says, I will give you those desires, because they're not selfish. It's not all about your well-being, your comfort, you know, the latest this and the best of that. It's that now you're serving me with zeal and with passion. And let me go on with this definition. This flame of zeal that brings our affections to a boil for God's cause, it enlivens and compels us, stirs and empowers us, directs and governs us, as it sets our affections ablaze for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. Amen. That zeal, that passion, that delight. There was an old 19th century Anglican bishop from Liverpool, England, that made this statement. And when I read this, I had to even just examine my own heart. Because he said this. He said, it may be very true that wise young believers are very rare. And we've seen that. We said, oh, they're just new. They're just a babe in Christ. They don't have a lot of common sense. Just give them a few years to grow up. And he said, that may be very true, that it's hard to find a wise young believer. But he went on to say this. But it is no less true that zealous old believers are very rare. I was looking in the mirror, seeing my own reflection. And do I fit that bill? That yes, I've been in the way. You've heard that before, right? I've been in the way 25 years, 100 years. I've been in the way. And that's the problem. You've been in the way. Get out of the way so that He can have His way. We don't want to be in the way. We want to be flowing His way, right? I want zeal. I want that passion and that fervency when I come, like expectancy. It's Sunday. Yes! And not that it's Sunday and, oh. We've started changing even our vocabulary when we set the clocks. We no longer call them alarm clocks. We call them opportunity clocks. We are setting our opportunity clocks. Who wants to wake up to an alarm? Fire, fire, fire. I don't want to wake up to that. But see, when you see it as an opportunity, this is the day that the Lord has made. So I will rejoice and be glad in this day. It's an opportunity to see God move and operate and show His faithfulness. Yeah, I'll hit that clock and I'll rise out of that bed with expectancy. But zeal that motivates you, because it's no longer an alarm that makes you want to run. Find shelter. Cover your head with the blankets. I don't want to face this world. It's so bad. Man, we are excited with the opportunity to go into a nation of 39 million people with less than 1% born again. We're excited because of the opportunity. Well, won't there be struggles? Sure. That's life. Yeah. Do you have struggles in Custer, South Dakota? Yeah. As beautiful as this area is. But guess what? It's not always 75. Well, it's not 75 today, is it? But it's not always 75 and sunny. I mean, we lived in the Northwest. December comes, February comes, and you think it'll never end, right? Zeal, passion. Over in Isaiah 59:17. And as you're turning there, you see, zeal is that earnest desire and concern for all things pertaining to the glory of God. Zeal is. We're not just talking about a man-made zeal. You can get excited about things. And I think of this all the time in sports, how we root if you're into sports, and how we'll root for our teams. Go team, go team, go team. And if you're fortunate, your team makes it to a championship and maybe wins. And that excitement and that euphoria of that team, oh, my team has won. But then give it about 3 months, and guess what? Well, we got to do it again. We got to do it again. And the thrill and the excitement, it's like, well, what happened to right after they won? Well, now we got to repeat it again. And it's short-lived. But this zeal that we're talking about, this Holy Ghost-infused zeal, is not something that just comes and goes. Where, well, if a big check comes in the mail, whoo, glory to God. And then the next day, a big bill comes in the mail. No, with the Lord. And I was thinking of that scripture, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Who did it say rejoice in? The Lord. It didn't say rejoice for the Lord. It didn't say rejoice because of the Lord. It said rejoice in the Lord. And when you look at that, that word Lord means master. Rejoice because he's the master. He's not the one that brings all the situations into our lives, but he's the master of every situation of my life if I'll yield it to him. Man, when I think about that, it doesn't matter what comes my way, what bill comes my way, what obstacle comes my way. I can rejoice in the Lord and be glad in the Lord. Why? Because he's the master of that situation. Amen. Yes. Stay excited. But in Isaiah 59:17... And one translation says this, to be wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. Wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. Now, cloak is not something that we commonly use and not really a phrase. And Pastor, it was just so good that you, yesterday while we were eating, shared that verse of scripture and then you shared it again. Remember. Remember, because really what I'm talking about and challenging us here this morning is to remember. Am I more zealous today for the things of God than I was when I first became a child of God? Or could I reflect in my own mirror, because your reflection is not to be, you're not to hold up the mirror to your neighbor. Hey, neighbor, look in the mirror. No, it's about me looking in that mirror myself and saying, where am I at? So am I more excited because I should be? As I have become more acquainted with him, more knowledgeable of him, as I've seen him operate in my life in ways beyond imagination, I should be more excited and more zealous for the things of God than I was 40 plus years ago when I first received him as Lord. Not less, but more. But what we find is that if we're not careful, time will erode that excitement and that zeal for the things of God. And now we're living life, and our Christian life is like our normal life. We're just going through the motions of doing it. We're reading the Word just to be doing it. We're coming to church just to be doing it. But we're not coming with that expectancy. We're not reading with that expectancy. We're not giving with that expectancy. And so we're not really seeing God do what he could be doing in us. And here the writer is saying in Isaiah 59, we are to put that cloak, or like that garment, we're to put around us that garment of zeal. We know in Ephesians 6 that Paul talks about the armor, and he begins to list there in Ephesians 6 the armor. Well, I believe here in Isaiah 59, there's another piece of the armor that we're not talking about very often, and that is the cloak of zeal. To make sure that we are cloaked in this Holy Ghost zeal. Amen. And you might wonder, because again, cloak is not a word that we use often these days. So what was the purpose of a cloak? When often it was used by the Roman army. So let me give you just very quickly. It served multiple important functions for a Roman soldier, a cloak did. It provided warmth. It would help to defend against the cold. That's important if you're about to go to battle. You don't need to be shivering. You don't need to be so consumed in your thoughts about the cold and how it's affecting your body. You need to be mindful of the battle that lies ahead. And so a cloak would provide warmth for that soldier. It had natural oils, or it was soaked in natural oils so that it was waterproof, nearly waterproof, to provide protection against the rain. So it'd provide warmth in the cold, and it would provide dryness against the rains. And they could also use it as a makeshift bedding so that it would provide on those long marches and those long journeys some measure of comfort so that they could rest. Now catch this. He says, I want you to be cloaked with zeal. Because think about a soldier who's fighting cold, who's wet, who hasn't been sleeping very well. When we traveled in 2007, we traveled to Vietnam and ministered in Vietnam. And the bed in Hanoi, Vietnam, that's a pretty broad term for them calling it a bed. Because the next morning when I got off of that, it was like laying on concrete. And when I couldn't raise up. I had to roll off. Because my back was so stiff. It's like I could barely move. It's like this is not a bed. It's surely not a bed of comfort. And we had to get up and minister for like 8 hours after trying to sleep on that thing. Well, you had to press through. Now think about a soldier who's cold, he's wet, and he hasn't slept. And he's about to go into battle. Now he knows and he's got those skills, but he's not going to be 100% utilizing those skills because his mind, his body's doing this. He's wet and he didn't sleep. He's not going to be at his fighting best. And the writer here in Isaiah 59 is telling us to do what? To cloak ourselves with zeal. Why? So that we can be at our fighting best. So that we can be at the top of our game when it comes to this walk with Christ. So that we're not just trying to survive to hold on. I grew up, now my grandparents took me to church, and so one of the famous songs that we sung in the Holiness Church, in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, was Hold the Fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. Wave the banner, something like that. But the whole theme was to hold the fort. Why? Because the enemy is boom, 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 boom. Just got to hold on. That wasn't a victory song. It was a desperation song. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Because I don't know how much longer I can hold on. And that's not how he's wanting the believer to live their life. We're not just holding on, folks. We are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. Through him. See, zeal is what makes us. It's what makes us who otherwise, when you think about it, essentially, we're all the same. We're born again by his Spirit, his love. We're given the same measure of faith. You know, when Pastor Joel got saved, God didn't say, he is so special. He is so wonderful. I'm going to deposit so much grace in him that it's going to elevate him much higher than anybody else. I have the same grace that he has. The same love of God that he has, I have. And why is that? Because that's how God works. But what is it that propels us a little further? It's that zeal, that hunger. The psalmist said in Psalm 69 and 9, he said, the zeal for your house has eaten me up. The zeal for your house has eaten me up. He said, I'm consumed. If you look at David's life, he was consumed with providing a house for the presence of God. He said, I'm going to provide a house for his presence. Amen. Let me give you six quick little things here. Marks of zeal. How can you know if someone's full of zeal? We're talking about God, the God zeal. It's that they have a love for God. Just passionate for God. What motivates us, there's a scripture that Pamela will share oftentimes, that we are compelled. We're compelled by the love of God. So what we're doing, it's because he's compelled us through his love. It's not because, hey, we think it's a cool idea to go to Poland. Hey, let's move to Poland. Nothing else we're doing in this life. Let's just move to Poland. No, we're compelled by the love of God. And that love, when we are setting in language school starting in September, it's the love of God that will compel us to set there day after day, to press through struggles and difficulties. Because if you've not seen Polish, look it up. It's not Spanish, people. They got stuff in there that's just like, to the English mind, but praise God, we've got the mind of Christ. But his love compels us. That's a mark. A second mark is that zeal, Christian zeal, is ruled by the Word of God. It's not just someone's private opinion. It's ruled by the Word. The Word. How can I stay settled? It's His Word. I'm settled on His Word. Zeal is devoted to good works. In other words, godly zeal is busy and active towards the things of God. It's not looking for a retirement plan. It's not looking for vacation from serving God. Godly zeal is saying, come on, Lord. Yeah, if you need me to go out there with a weed whacker and whack some weeds out there on the church property, I'll do it because I'm excited because I know that once that building's up and people are driving by, there's souls that are going to be in there and they're going to be at the altar giving their heart to Jesus Christ. You're not even looking at the weeds. You're thinking about all the lives that are going to be touched because zeal will change your vision and your outlook. Zeal begins with self-examination. You're not looking how your neighbor or your spouse or your children can change. You're looking at how you can change. To be more like him. And zeal cares about others. So that's why you're motivated, because you care about others. Because it's not about my satisfaction and me just living life and getting through the emotions. You care about others. Then zeal is constant. It's constant. It's constant. You don't have the highs and the very lows. You're constant. You're steady. Right? Zeal will do that because God's faithful. Man, you're going through a hard time. No, God's faithful. Why? Because my zeal is built on the Word. And I know what the Word says. I know what the Word has declared. And simply put, zeal is fuel. It's really what it is. Zeal is fuel. It will get you down the road. I mean, I wish that that vehicle that we drive, I wish I could go out there and lay hands on it and say, tank, be thou filled. Turn the key and start driving, not think about it again. But if I do that, eventually there's a yellow light that comes on. And that car will say, I'm not filled. And you're about to end up on the side of the road. But zeal is our fuel. It will keep us going and going and going day after day, week after week, and month after month, and then year after year. And 25 years down the road, you're just as excited and more than you were 25 years ago because of the things of God. One last couple of scriptures and then wrapping this up. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and 16. So the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Another translation said, the violent take it. The violent take it. And I would hear that, violent, violent. I'm not a violent man. Those who are zealous, they take it. They take it. They don't just wait. They take it. Now, I don't have a $100 bill, but if I had a $100 bill and pulled it out this morning and said, it's for whomever wants it, there you go. That's the response you need. Before the words are even out of my mouth, he's already walking towards it. Why? Because, hey, he said he's got it. But most people will step back and just wait. And then they're going, man, that dude had a $100 bill, and I just sat there. See, zeal takes it. You press in. You go for it. You're pressing for it. In Revelation chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, verses 14 through 19, the angel of the Lord is speaking to the church at Laodicea. And in verse 19, the Laodiceans are charged to be zealous. He said, you're neither hot or cold. You're lukewarm. And I would rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. So he said, I ask you to repent and be zealous. Get hungry. Get hot for God. See, without zeal, our Christian life is lifeless and cold. Without zeal. Passionately serving the Lord. Praise God. Passionately serving Him. And then Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with your might. Well, I wonder if I can get by just doing this. If I just did a little bit. I wonder if we went out there and just cut one blade of grass. And maybe the rest of the grass would just get the idea that we cut that one blade and so it just automatically falls down. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? You got to get out there and cut it all. Get it all. Take care of it all. For it to look like you want it to look. The same thing, whatever you do, do it with all your might. With all your strength. Praise God. Zeal. To be filled with His zeal. The zeal of the Lord. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I appreciate what Pastor Joel shared with Pamela and I, that every service that you give an invitation for those who do not know Christ personally to come into a personal relationship with Him, because what we've shared even this morning, you can't work this up in your own self. Because I've tried to do that. And probably many of you that know Christ today tried to do that, live that. And you can do it for a little bit, but it doesn't last. But if you want a life that's constant, that's full of hope, where you're not having to wake up tomorrow to an alarm, but you can wake up with expectancy because of the opportunity that lies ahead of you, a hope for the future to get you beyond maybe your present situation. There's many of us here this morning that can testify to the fact that Jesus Christ, once He became Lord of our lives, that's when we really began to live. So if you're here present this morning, Diana, would you mind coming on up here? And worship team, if you want to come. If you're here this morning, and you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, here's the beauty of it. That's the only thing He asks. He's not asking for your wallet. He's not asking for your car, your home, your career. He's just saying, would you give me the opportunity to be Lord? And I will show you my goodness. I'll show you what real love is all about. If there's anyone here at all this morning, you don't know Jesus as Lord, and I would ask you first, just right where you're at, to raise your hand and say, Brother Steve, I don't want to leave here in that situation without that hope, without that knowing that my future can be better than my today. And my yesterdays don't have to dictate my tomorrows. Anyone here at all, if you've never asked Jesus as Lord, He loves you, folks. He cares about you. Because He brought missionaries. And He said, you know what? I'm putting a pause, because we were supposed to be in Poland already, folks. We were supposed to have been there the end of May. But God changed some things. And I believe this is some of that reason why God changed things to allow us to be here in Custer, South Dakota on June the 9th. God will do that because he loves people and he cares. Anyone at all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, a second invitation that I want to give, and then Pastor, we're going to release the service back over to you. And Pam and I will stay here around the altars, and we will pray with anyone and everyone who would like us to join with you in prayer. And I believe you've got prayer teams too, and we would encourage your prayer teams to join us. But if anyone would like that prayer of agreement, just say, you know what, just even sitting in this service and hearing that message and just quick reflection, I can see that, you know, I'm not as zealous for God as I once was. And I don't want that to be walked out. I want to reignite those flames and have those affections burning, boiling, what God purposes. Then we want to join with you and pray, because I believe that God can stir that back up so that you're not just going through the motions, but that God purposes are burning greatly in you. And so we will open these altars for that as well.
Roland and Jackie, would you guys come on up? And how about the rest of us go ahead and stand up? And folks, don't miss out. Don't miss out, amen? God's got good things. He's got good things for people. Hallelujah. Lisa, would you want to come up and be available to pray for people also? Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God.
You know, I just want to share this real quick, and I know we're going to close this out. But sometimes I think we get to the place where we think, I'm at a certain age, and so, you know, I can just casually live and I don't really need to press in. But I want to tell you just real briefly here about my mom, who is 88 years old. My dad passed away in 2007. She lives in like a senior apartment complex now. She's been there for many years. And she is ministering. Every Saturday, she does a Bible study. She has had so many people, this is in Kansas City, that have come to her that she's prayed for. She's seen them receive Christ, get set free, delivered, healed. She's 88 years old. She has purpose. And she said, you know, I know God still wants me here. He's not letting me go home and be with him yet, because I need to be here to tell these people about Jesus. So I don't care how old you are or what situation you're in, God has purpose for you. He has purpose for you. So you need to take that purpose and live it and walk it out. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just echo that. Folks, don't miss out. Don't miss out. And I can testify in my own life. How many of you think, you know, Pastor Joel, you're a pretty upbeat guy. You're kind of bouncing along all the time. You're doing really well. How many of you know that just doesn't come naturally? I have to purpose. I have to determine. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's a determination. I guarantee you, if I went by feelings, folks, whoa, roller coaster. Amen. And I love it when people pray for me. I love it when the Spirit of God moves through people into my life to help. And we can all use that. So today, I'm going to say a prayer and we're going to, you know, bring this service to a close. But you're here and you'd just love to have somebody lay hands on you and pray with you, pray for you, and let God move through you more. How many of you know he's still got good things to give? He's not done yet. He got a whole bunch. Amen. So don't miss out. Don't miss out. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we do worship you and we praise you. And Father, I thank you that you have days prepared for us like the days of heaven here on this earth, Father God. You put things in our future before time even began. And Father, since we're still here, that means you still got stuff for us. And we want to walk in that, Father. We want to have that. So we thank you as we get ready to end this service. We're ending the service, but church is not ending. We'll leave this building and the church is still living, the church is still going, because we're the church and we're still doing. And Father, I thank you for the ministry time here at the altar. I thank you for the life. I thank you for the zeal that's going to be deposited, the zeal that's going to be stirred up, Father. I just thank you for that. I thank you for each person here. And Father, whatever it might be, if there's need of healing, if there's need of wisdom, if there's need of direction, you've got it. You've got it, Father. And we love you, and we worship you, and we praise you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, folks, you want to come up here and receive ministry? Come on up.